نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من احب لله وابغض لله واعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الايمان وكما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام We are discussing this hadith sharif of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the person who makes muhabbat for the sake of Allah ta'ala, his love for another person is solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure. If the person dislikes, he hates, he distances himself from someone, then that too is solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's sake. When the person gives, then he gives for Allah ta'ala's sake. And if he withholds his favors and he does not give, then that too is for the sake of Allah ta'ala. In other words, his life revolves around Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure, and his life revolves around the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That means everything is for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is a servant, he is an abd. And an abd or a servant of Allah, a slave of Allah ta'ala, then he should not have his own wishes and desires. Now that does not mean that the person must not have a desire to eat a certain kind of dish or food. The person must have no desire to wear certain kind of clothes, or must have no desire to travel somewhere. He must have no desire to do anything or run a certain kind of business. We will say that that is impossible. The person will have some desire or the other. So what it means is this, that his desire must be subordinate and subjected to the desire of Allah Ta'ala and the wish of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever desire comes in his heart, he must first check whether my Allah is pleased with this or not. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased with it, then he can go ahead. And if Allah is displeased with it, then he says, no, my Allah must be pleased at all cost. I'm not going to worry about the pleasure of others, I'm going to worry about the pleasure of my one Allah. And that is why I always say that how easy Allah Ta'ala made it for us. That he said, please just one. Because it is very difficult to please the whole world. It is very difficult to please each and every person. Different people have different kind of temperaments, different kind of mizaj, different understanding, different likes and different dislikes. So if we are going to worry about the likes and dislikes of every human being, we are going to make our life very difficult. But if we say that we have to please just one Allah Ta'ala, then it becomes very simple. Then if the whole world goes on one side, but Allah Ta'ala is pleased, then this person is successful. And if the whole world is with him, but Allah Ta'ala is displeased, then this person cannot be successful. Because we are slaves of Allah Ta'ala, whether we like it or not. Even those people with so-called great intelligence and great learning and chains of degrees or multi-billion rand properties, they too cannot escape the fact that they are slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Who can escape that fact? Yes, sometimes we try to block it from our minds. Shaitan and nafs doesn't allow us to think in that line. The moment that thought comes that we are slaves of Allah Ta'ala, then shaitan tries to block it. No, you can't be a slave of anyone. You've got plenty of money. You've got plenty of knowledge. You've got plenty of strength in your body. You've got beautiful properties. You've got beautiful home. You've got good children. So how can you be slave of Allah Ta'ala? So shaitan tries to block that. Whereas in reality, that person, if he just sits for a little while and ponders, then he is a slave from head to toe, he is a slave of Allah Ta'ala. In everything, he is a slave of Allah Ta'ala. His eyes, his sight is not in his control. How many people, their sight suddenly vanished. Suddenly, not that there was a gradual degeneration. Suddenly, the person was gone blind. So many people, they lost the hearing, their speech. So many people were fit and healthy, and suddenly a stroke and the person is paralyzed. So much so that the person of great intelligence, but after the stroke, because it hit the brains, the person doesn't even remember sometimes his name. Then again, those cars in which we travel, which person can say that he is going to definitely reach his destination? He can start off his journey in the most beautiful car, newly bought from the garage, and the most expensive one in the country. But sometimes it could be that he hardly travels a few meters and he meets up with his death. Hardly a few meters from there and he meets up with his death. An accident takes place, or a shooting case, and the person is gone. His car is left behind, he is gone. That motor car became moth car. How many cases of this nature? So where are we going to say that we are free, we are azad, we are independent? This is a weakness of ours, that every person says that I am independent. Yes, we can be independent of certain things, but nobody can be independent of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this is the lesson, if we can only learn and take it to heart, that we are slaves of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And it does not befit a slave that he should make his own decisions with regards to his life. That famous incident where the slave was purchased, but he was a very pious one. So when his master asked him, what would you like to eat? He said, whatever you give me to eat. He said, what would you like to wear? He said, whatever you give me to wear. Where would you like to sleep? He said, wherever you put me to sleep. He said, but don't you have any wish and desire of your own? He said, if I had wishes and desires of my own, which I could have fulfilled, then why should I have been a slave? The very fact that I'm a slave shows that I don't have a desire of my own. So he thought as a lesson that we are slaves of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore our love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must be dominant in our lives. Our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be dominant in our lives. That our love for others also must be because of the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It must not be motivated by anything else. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore in another hadith, Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, wajabat, it's a hadith Qudsi, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, wajabat muhabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya. That my muhabbat, my love becomes wajib. It is not compulsory for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is a fazal and ihsan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that he says that I make my love compulsory, I make my love wajib for those two people, or for those people who love each other for my sake. Their love is solely for my pleasure. Their love is solely for my sake. He says, I make my muhabbat wajib for them. وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيهَا. Or they sit for no other purpose but for my love. Now at present, what are we sitting here for? I always say that these type of majlises or talks or bayans or waz that takes place, there is no jalebi that we are distributing now. There is no Krugerrands that will be distributed after this program. There is no other purpose, no other reason, except one, that we want to learn about our Allah. We want to learn about Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam Mubarak Deen. We want to learn about the ahkam of Sharia. We want to know how to please our Allah. So now this sitting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that those who sit solely for my pleasure, then my muhabbat becomes wajib for them. So their love for each other is for my sake, my muhabbat becomes wajib. Their sitting is for my sake, my muhabbat becomes wajib. Their visiting for my sake, my muhabbat becomes wajib. They visit each other solely for my pleasure too. Their visit is also not for worldly reasons. They are going to visit somebody, they say, Allah Ta'ala will become pleased that I'm going to visit my brother, I'm going to visit my sister, I'm going to visit my aunt, I'm going to visit my friend, I'm going to the hospital to see a patient. Whatever he is doing, all his visit is solely for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's sake. Then Allah Ta'ala says, my muhabbat becomes wajib for that person. and those who spend, وَالْمُتَبَازِلِينَ فِيهَا, and those who spend on each other, and their spending too is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that my Allah will become happy if I spend on this friend of mine, on this brother of mine, on this sister of mine, on this neighbor of mine, on the poor, on the needy, whoever it is, but it is for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's sake. Then Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat becomes wajib. And believe me, when Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat will become wajib, then this muhabbat also will last till death. This muhabbat, which is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, will then remain till death. Because Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat has become wajib for this person, he was making muhabbat for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will keep that muhabbat also till his dying day. That is why we find that so many people whose muhabbat was solely for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's sake, then throughout their lives they never parted. But where the muhabbat is tainted with some kind of worldly motive, on whichever side it may be, then after a period of time that muhabbat ends. Although that person might have been spending a lot also on his friend, but because that muhabbat was not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that visiting was not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, it was for some worldly motive. And worldly motive is not only so that you get some money in return. Worldly motive can be very many things, different things. Sometimes a person is a friend with some great buzrug also. But for a period of time he stays friends because he has got some motive, that he is enjoying some kind of respect, that I am the companion of so and so. Now everybody respects him also, that this person is the companion of so and so. He is making his khidmat. Then as soon as that shaykh takes some other khadim, then this khadim disappears. He is not even seen in the majlis after that. Why? Because that muhabbat was not for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. In the same way, this person is making khidmat of his parents, and after that he gets the knowledge that my father gave away that one property to somebody else or made it waqaf. So now he becomes annoyed, angry, and finished. Khidmat of parents is gone. In everything or in anything, when gharaz-e-dunyawi, when worldly motive will come in, then there will be a problems. And at present this is the major cause of disputes, arguments, rift, breakup of friendships. The major cause, there can be other causes too, but the major cause is that most of it is not for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The person is a friend of someone, why? So that we may go to the cinemas together, so that we will go to the casinos together, so that we will play cards together, so that we will gamble together. Now that is not a muhabbat for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So that kind of muhabbat, after some time also there will be a dispute, there will be argument, fight, quarrel, and there will be a breakup. The person had plenty of wealth, so this person was his friend, so that he may get loans, so that his worldly needs may be fulfilled, so that he may establish a business for him. But as soon as that person's wealth went, then this person's friendship went. So we have to change this matlab-e-dunyawi from our hearts. We have to get that matlab of dunya out of our hearts. The day we take that matlab of dunya out of our hearts and our friendship and everything comes solely for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure, our dislike is solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, our giving is for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, and our holding back is for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, life will become very beautiful, very wonderful, very peaceful, very happy. The homes will become happy, and when the homes become happy, the families become happy, then the society becomes happy, and when societies become happy, then the nations become happy. And that is a simple prescription. So whenever we befriend somebody, or whenever we give to someone, or we take from someone, or we go to visit someone, then we must always question ourselves, why am I doing it? Most of our visits to the hospitals is for what? Is it because it is a hukam of Allah Ta'ala? Is it because it is the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you visit the sick and you get this sawab, that sawab? Or is it just to show face that I too was there? Most of our attendance of nikahs and walimas, for what is it? Is it because of the muhabbat? Is it because of shariat hukam? Or is it because we just want to show face? I too was present there. So if we have to look at our lifestyles, our loans that we give to people, for what do we give? So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand this hadith. Because once Allah ta'ala's muhabbat will become wajib, then so many times you have heard in my majlises that beautiful couplet of Hazrat Mawlana Qimud Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, jis se hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gul sita mein. Jis se hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gul sita mein. With whomsoever Allah you are pleased, then day and night he is in gardens. Day and night Allah Ta'ala keeps their hearts in gardens. Why are their hearts in gardens? Because again that beautiful couplet, Mana ke mir gulshan e jannat to dur hai, aarif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. O mir, I know that jannat is far away, but the aarif of Allah Ta'ala has got the khaliq of jannat in his heart. We make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala purifies our hearts, and that our like and our dislikes and everything become for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. I conclude on one very important point, that sometimes our dislike is for the sake of deen, and sometimes our dislike is for the sake of our nafs. Sometimes a person is doing deen work, he is engaged in deen work, but that deen work that he is doing may be of a different line. He is not doing it in exactly the same pattern that we are doing. Now we got a dislike for that person. Not because of his character, not because of any other evil in his life, solely because the person is not doing the deen work in the way, in the manner, in the pattern that I am doing. And now we got dislike for that person. And this, I'm not telling you fairy tales. A person came to me and he said, "Well, now I have to sit in the back of your majlis." But the hatred used to boil in my heart. I used to burn in my heart. He said, "I used to dislike you." And he says, "I used to cook up all kinds of ideas." So I asked him, "Did I steal your money? Am I owing you any money? Or did I swear you? Did I curse you?" So he says, "No, nothing of that kind." He says, "Then why was that hatred in your heart? Did I say from the mimbar anything that was against the Quran and against the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam?" So now that hatred was solely because the person is not doing the work of deen in the way that I want him to do, or exactly in the same pattern. So what happens is that this person gets a dream. Sometimes I fear saying certain things because of the fear of any kind of pride coming. Now he says he saw in the dream. Now this kind of incident, 2-3 brothers came and told me. Now in the dream he says that I'm walking up from here, or I'm coming from that side, and he says he sees Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam embracing me in the dream. So I said, "But that is a dream. Allah Ta'ala must accept you." He says, "But Noah, please forgive me. I want you to forgive me, because I used to have this kind of thoughts." So these are important things what I am telling you. Now imagine a person hating or disliking someone because that person is talking Quran and Sunnah. Now how far it goes, look at the effect of that, how far it will go. So this is something that we must be careful and on guard. And sometimes this hatred of ours comes for the great mashayikh and for the great buzrugs and the great walis of Allah Ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us an understanding of deen. We must make tawbah and istighfar if we held malice in our hearts for those who are the lovers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are not in that category. I am just a slave of Allah Ta'ala and a khadim of deen. But sometimes this type of malice is held for those great buzrugs and walis of Allah Ta'ala. Now if a person has malice in his heart and hatred in his heart for some wali of Allah Ta'ala, then he can expect barakat and rahmat and maghfirat, or is he heading to the direction of hellfire? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must protect us from these type of evils. Our muhabbat must be for Allah Ta'ala, our hatred must be for Allah Ta'ala, everything must be for the sake of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.